listening, friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 3rd, 2013. I guess it's 4th of July Eve, so hopefully many of you are going to spend some good time with family and friends and with neighbors and have a cookout or at least break bread together. Maybe you'll go out to a restaurant or enjoy some fellowship.
This is that
time.
Night when your neighbors forget what bedtime is because they're out blowing off those fireworks all night long.
Yeah. So many of you, when you have circles on your eyes, you know, tomorrow morning, it's like because you were up so late with all the fireworks and the noise and the neighbors, yeah, partying hardy or whatever. So, hey, you know, during our prayer time, I have a number of agenda items I want to maybe cover or highlight. But during the prayer time, you were talking about names. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, do you know why you were named Jason? Because I was thinking about myself as you were praying. You know, I don't know why I was named Mark. I know why I was given my middle name, Nelson. It was after my grandfather, who I never met. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I'll have to ask my mom, why did you choose Mark? I think it was maybe just the name they liked.
I do know that I was born in a tail end of the year. So December 29th is when I was born. And I think that prior to that, there was something that came out.
Hey, what was that date again? We want to make sure our listeners know of it. December?
December 29th.
Okay.
What you can do is do what everybody's done historically, is you give me one sock for Christmas and one sock for my birthday and tell me they're both together. And it's wonderful.
Yeah, you kind of get ripped off at
you
Christmas
You do a little
time.
Bit, yeah.
Hey, I should mention before we continue on with this names, Karen Harrison and Stephen McClary. Karen Harrison is our office manager extraordinaire, and Stephen McClary is our director extraordinaire. Both had birthdays yesterday, so happy birthday, guys.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize they both had it on the same day. I knew Karen's was early July, and I didn't know Stephen McClary. So both two staff members that are greatly used of the Lord had birthdays yesterday. So if you see them in the next few days, wish them a happy birthday. So back to your name. So you're the end of the year.
So it's the end of the year. So there was something somewhere where that's the most popular name of 1971. Is Jason. And so I think my mother was very big on, like, how things would go on the playground and that.
Yeah.
And my wife is the same way. I don't even care. I don't even think about it. But my wife is the same way. Because we'll pick names for the baby, and then she'll go, like, you know, I'll say, well, especially the one we're going to have. I said, Samuel. And she goes, what's the middle name? And I said, David. And she goes, SDS. Does SDS mean anything? I go, what do you mean? Does SDS mean anything? There was something we were going to name Abigail. So Abigail A. Oh, yeah.
Can you not say it over the air?
I can't say it over the air. Let me just tell you, you guys know what my last name is. My daughter's first name is Abigail, and my wife said, at first she said, we could name her Sarah as a great middle name. Then we realized what the playground thing. But my wife is like nuts about that. She's like, well, I mean, on the playground. And I think that my wife was the brunt of some jokes on the playground.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't have great significance for your name. But
while
you were praying, you were talking about names and, you know, how God sees our names or renames us. And sometimes we get attached to our name, which is really getting attached to expectations about us or how we project ourselves to people. And I was thinking about that, and you were praying for our listeners and that we would take the name. I like when some people say, who are you or what do you do? And then instead of giving their name and occupation, they say, I'm a follower of Jesus, or I'm an ambassador for the King. And Mary Mosser Maines, a friend of mine who is recently widowed, I think Mary might come and visit in the coming days, but she always referred to herself as, I'm a free agent for Jesus. She would say that all the time, and sometimes I'll say that, I'm a free agent for Jesus. But you had prayed about us recognizing the name that God has given us, or how sometimes we are given names and we need to shed those names.
Hey, you know, the Bible says some interesting things, and I can't pinpoint exactly where, but off the top of my head, the Bible says that your name will be made great. The Bible talks about your name being great, but it doesn't talk about your name being great because of the things that you've done or the things that you are even able to do. Your name becomes great when you claim the name of Christ in your life. You claim the name of, in the Old Testament, Yahweh in your life, and that's when your name becomes great. The problem we have, and what a funny thing we would talk about this today, is that tomorrow is Independence Day. And in a Western culture, especially in America, we have this culture of, I want to be great. I need to be better. I need to make a great name for myself. I need to make a name for myself. I need to, you know, fill in the blank. But we have this ideal that in our independence, we somehow make ourselves great. And, you know, I was thinking tomorrow that what do we celebrate when we talk about Independence Day? What do we celebrate when we talk about the 4th of July? We talk about freedom and we talk about liberty and we talk about justice. Now, those are things that, the Lord is all about. He's all about freedom for the captives. He's all about justice for those who don't have enough and who deserve, you know, the playing field at that cross is level. And God says we all come there, poor, weak, meek, all of us, we come together. The strong and the meek and the weak are supposed to gather together, and it's through the strong that the weak and the meek are made strong, and it's through the weak and the meek that the strong are brought down and they don't get too haughty. And so on Independence Day, I wonder if we ought to focus our gaze on God. Not that it's bad to celebrate America, but maybe Independence Day should be Dependence Day, where we refocus our dependence on the Lord, and we refocus on God as being central to our freedom. Because this freedom here in this country, and I think that we see it sometimes when we watch the news, it's momentary. There are freedoms that come and there are freedoms that go. There are freedoms that we think we ought to have that we don't have. And freedoms that we think we ought to have that we definitely shouldn't have because it'll get us in a lot of trouble. And instead, we ought to focus our gaze on something that's eternal, not momentary. And we should never, never, and don't take this out of context and send me a ton of emails about this, but we should never allow the flag to trump the cross. Mm-hmm. Never, ever. Jesus is Lord God, Savior, and King, and tomorrow is Independence Day for each one of us who has accepted Christ into our life, because we were once lost, and now we've been found. We were once captives, and now we're set free. Tomorrow should be Dependence Day, where we stand dependent on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I mean, the great passage in Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and would turn towards me, the passage says that God would listen and hear from heaven and that he would come and he would answer those prayers. In fact, what I love about that passage, not only that he calls his people to repentance, but it says in the passage, and now my ears will be attentive to the prayers offered in this place. What would happen tomorrow if in the America, instead of the boom of the firecrackers, tomorrow the booming of your prayers went out? That God, who is attentive even right now, listening for those prayers, would hear an eruption of prayer in this country that would be undeniable. Undeniable to your neighbors, undeniable to the people down the street, undeniable to those people who are far from God, that your independence is really your dependence upon God.
Just never know where we're going to go. That was part of your prayer as you were praying for the people that they would experience freedom in Christ. And I was just thinking that term freedom and the freedom we have in Christ. And that brings to mind, I don't know if it's one of Paul's writings, for this you have been set free. I can't remember the context, but it's similar, that we are free in Christ, the freedom we can experience because of the work he did, not because we're following all the rules, we're going to church, we're tithing, we're doing all the things that we would want to do because we want to further kingdom purposes, but the fact that he has freed us from the bondage of sin, that we can find that freedom, that wholeness, that completeness in him. Wow.
Yeah, just think about the Apostle Paul. Think about when Jesus meets him on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9, and he says to him, I mean, there was suddenly a light from heaven that flashed around him, and he fell on the ground, and he heard a voice say to him. Notice that Jesus says his name twice. By the way, if Jesus says your name twice, listen, because when you get to the third time, it's not always pretty.
Yeah.
But he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And after this, his name gets changed. It's not too long after this, his name gets changed. Because Saul, Saul was attached to persecution. Saul, Saul was attached to a hard heart. Saul, Saul was attached to all kinds of things that have nothing to do with the movement of Jesus. And so God came in, God the Son came in and said, we're going to change your name because you're way too attached to those things. We're going to give you a new name. In fact, it says later on in Revelation that we each will receive a new name. And it's an amazing thing. In fact, in Revelation, when it talks about that, I believe it's Revelation 3, it says that we will get a new name and we'll be given, in the same passages it talks about, we'll be given a white stone. And back in the days of Rome, you'd have these great Roman games. And what would happen is if you were the victor of the games, you would be given this white stone. And the white stone was your ticket A to come to the big party afterwards, like the big after Colosseum party. Mm. You got to go to that. But it also gave you special privileges as a citizen, special inheritance because you had this stone. When that passage in Revelation talks about the white stone, Jesus is saying, by getting this stone, you have a new name, a name that's not attached to this world, and you're invited to the big eternal party that comes through your inheritance in Christ Jesus. He's calling us home by using something that people would have known. When people read that, they would have known the white stone, and they would have said, wait, the white stone, that means this, this, and this. Wait, you mean we're invited to the party? We actually get to be a part of something bigger? And not only that, but it's the victor who got the stone. And notice that in Revelation, Jesus gives it to a lot of people, not one person. So Jesus claims victory in the lives of many, many upon many. We live in a day and age where we have a real problem. And I addressed this, I think, at the last Merge Gospels gathering that we had.
Is that when then God turned off the lights?
When the power went out. That was just absolutely. No better timing, though, than me hitting the podium and then the power going out.
And I forget what you just finished saying, but you said it with, like, emphatically, hit the podium.
I was talking about Revelation, you know, like having something revealed to you by God, and I hit the podium right as I said, and God said, boom, and the power went out. And I mean, there was like a hush in the room.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I did that? Yeah. You know what I really thought happened at first? I mean, I kind of like, because the PA thing is in that podium.
Right.
And there was some dicey kind of thing with the extension cord that was happening prior to. I was having trouble getting the extension cord to work. So I thought I hit that thing and somehow jostled the thing and like blew up all the power at Judah Christian. I mean, that would be what I'd be known for. He blew up Judah Christian.
No more having him come and preach.
Yeah, he doesn't get to come anymore. Back to what I was saying. There are those who would preach a very small gospel. Those who would preach a very, I would say, a very greedy gospel. A gospel where there are only a few people who get to get, only a small elect group, where when they read the elect people in the Bible, you know, God predestined those that he called and called, they would read that and they would say, well, that can't be a lot of people. That can only be some people, because only some people can fit God's bill for what it means to follow God. And yet I look at all those alls in the Bible, you know, all who are wearied and burdened, all who have come to me. He came to preach peace to all. You know, and I look at that and I go, the gospel is not stingy. The gospel is generous, that it's open to everybody to come. Everybody who places their dependence, not independence, on Christ can come into the kingdom. Because if the gospel was small and exclusive, then why would we need grace? Why would we need grace if there was some standard that we couldn't meet and only a few could meet? We wouldn't need that. Read the Bible. I mean, when you read it, the people who in the Bible who God calls forth and uses are people just like you and me. They're people who have a lot of character problems. There's people who have a lot of issues. And God calls them forward and he uses them. And there are moments when God exercises his grace to call them back into it. Over last weekend, I think I was preaching out of Acts chapter 8 and the story of Simon the sorcerer. Philip baptizes Simon. He believes, but he doesn't truly convert. You know, he wants to add Christianity to his repertoire. And there's this moment where the apostles lay hands on people, and Simon sees this, and he says, oh my gosh, I want that. And the first thing he does is he begins to dig in his pocket and try and find some money to buy this. And right away after that, Peter says, may your money perish with you. Peter right away calls him to the carpet. But what he does is he tells him, he corrects him. He says, you know what? You thought you could buy this. You thought you could do that. He corrects him right away. He sees the sin. He steps on the sin and stops the sin, and then he offers him the ability to repent. He says, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. And then he says, perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. He calls him back. He says, look it, I see the sin, let's correct it, let's repent it, and let's begin following Jesus again. And that's what God does for each one of us. God does it for me. God says, oh my gosh, what did you just do? Let's repent of that, and let's begin following again. Isn't it amazing that we have a God who can do all things, but he chooses to do those things? He chooses to continually come to those who fall and say, you know what? I just want to dust you off real quick, and I want to get you back up, and I want to get you back following again. And that's amazing to think, because we wouldn't do that. I mean, when people in our lives fall, don't we generally go, you know what, I just don't have time for that person anymore. That person is really frustrating me. I just can't even talk to him anymore. Some of us even say, I need to have healthy boundaries. You know, I think Jesus had healthy boundaries, but I don't think it stopped him from going to the people who were the most broken. And sometimes I think that we need to have healthy boundaries in our integrity and our character, but we need to reach out to the broken. And some of us would say, well, Jason, how do I reach out to the broken? I mean, I don't even want... The reason you don't and you can't is because you're too independent.
And you're doing it in your own strength.
Exactly. It's you're too independent. You think that you have to go and do it alone. You know, I people all the time, oh, my gosh, I'm so alone. I feel, oh, my gosh, I have to go do this alone. Oh, my gosh, I feel like it's just always just me. It's never just you. When you follow Jesus, it's never just you. As long as you're dependent on Jesus, there's always three other guys in the car. I mean, let's just be honest. There's always three other guys in the car. You know, so I mean, it was really funny. We were somewhere.
Now, somebody might be tuning in like, they don't get that.
Oh, it's Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. It was really funny. Somebody said to me, I was somewhere where somebody did the prayer where they invite God to the table. But by the way, just so you know, if you invite me over to dinner and you do the prayer where you invite God to the table, I just want you to know I may correct you because God was at the table a long time before that. I've been to places where people clearly can't cook, and I know God must have been in the house because there's no way that meal should have come off the way it did.
Yeah. And you always like to say, and I won't say it makes your hair stand up, but like when people invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of the session or whatever, hey, he's already living and abiding in you, so he's already there in a sense.
Well, I mean, because the language sounds almost like I can kind of tug the leash and he comes, or like he's been waiting outside and, oh, thank you, Jason, for inviting me to dinner. I really wanted to come. It wasn't because I made the food possible, the house possible, the kids possible, your wife possible, all these things. If we really want to dig it apart, we're subtly dismissing the power of the Holy Spirit when we invite him to the table.
Because he's already been there.
How do you think the table got there?
Yeah. See, I know that's one of your little pet peeves.
It is. Because honestly, the bigger theology behind it is that we don't believe that God is sovereign. We believe that God kind of comes in and out instead of God always being there. And
right.
That comes from the fact that we don't understand why we have to go through bad things, because we think if we follow God, some of us were sold that bad bill of goods where come follow Jesus and the streets are paved with gold and everything's wonderful. And no, the Bible's very clear about that. The Bible says he doesn't deliver you from your circumstances but meets you in them, and he gives you manna for today to be able to walk through it. And so God's always been there. So I was somewhere where somebody said, now we want to invite God to the table. You know, Lord, just pull up a chair. And so I kind of looked around, and because I was like, you know me, I'm just like, I want to say something.
Well, I have a teaching moment.
I want to have a teaching moment. Yeah, you know, always a Bible study at the wrong moment. And then somebody else who was sitting at the table said, well, shouldn't we pull three chairs? And then all of a sudden somebody else goes, the table's too small. We need to, you know, and then there became like a whole conversation about setting up a card table for the Lord to come. And then I'm like, even more, I'm like, so the Lord sits at the kids' table? I mean, what's going on here? I mean, theologically, the whole thing fell apart. I was just like, ugh.
Well, hey, back to Simon the Sorcerer. That's chapter 8 of Acts.
Yeah.
So what? That'll be about 2017 when we get it.
2017.
When we get there. To have a more fuller discussion on that, those of you that tune in for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, I'll just highlight it right now. Jason and I have been going through the book of Acts. I think we're in about verse 9 or 10. It's maybe our seventh week. So we'll do a fuller discussion on Simon the Sorcerer and such. But about those names again, back to the names, because we only have a few more minutes, but wasn't it interesting how God chose to change the name of Abraham and Sarah and even like Peter, who was Cephas, and even like the names like Barnabas, his tag name, like the Encourager, how God can breathe new life into us as he renames us or gives us these names. Or I like what you say, where he gives us a special name. And what better name than just to be called his?
Right. I mean, it's really a fascinating study is to go through and study all the names and those even minor names and see what they mean. I mean, for Barnabas to be called the son of encouragement, I mean, Barnabas' name was Joseph. And Joseph was the Jason of the day. In Jesus' time, Joseph was like Jason in 1971. Everybody was named Joseph. So these guys came up with a nickname for Barnabas. They came up with some other name. And so that name that God, the Holy Spirit speaking through these people, gave to him, what a great name that is, because it tells us so much about him. And then all we have to do is read the rest of Acts to realize that he truly is a son of encouragement. I mean, he goes back to Cyprus and encourages the people there. He's the encourager of Paul. He becomes a great evangelist, so he's encourager of people into the presence of Christ. Barnabas is an amazing encourager. And so that nickname tells us so much about him. If the Bible only recorded that his name was Joseph, we would have been like, well, what else? I mean, it kind of would have been, but we learned so much by that simple name, the character of him, and what God thinks about him.
And how about the name that we've been given, those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be neat if we lived up to that name, that calling?
You could get me onto a whole nother tangent here. You know what? I
know there's a message in you right now.
I actually think the problem is that we focus on our name being Christian, and the first name we were given is disciple. The first name that we've been given is the follower of Christ. And while I do believe and don't take me out of context, that Christian is a great name, and it's a name that we should be
portraying, projecting.
Yeah, to define ourselves as. We are Christians, Christ followers. But notice what I said. What does Christian mean? It means I follow Christ. Wait a second. So before you became a Christian, you have to be a disciple. It's almost as if Christian gets to be the last name, and what's your first name? Your first name needs to be disciple, which means a follower and a learner. In Luke 6:40, it says, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. So first and foremost, as students of Jesus, we're to know that we're not better than Jesus ever. We're not above Jesus. Jesus is worthy of all of our worship. But we're to be fully trained and like our teacher, which means is when somebody looks at you, they go, wow, he looks a lot like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't mean you've grown a beard and your hair's gotten kind of long. That means that you're portraying the qualities of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. As you walk around, you subtly begin to bring peace and grace and mercy to the world.
And I love what you said earlier on, that tomorrow, though we celebrate it as Independence Day, the 4th of July, let's recalibrate our minds and hearts and think about our dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ to equip us, to strengthen us, to help us be those disciples and those ambassadors for the kingdom. For those that we celebrate with tomorrow, help us point to God. And I'm having all the Safe House brothers over here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to have a time of prayer of us seeking after God and relinquishing control of our lives, if you will, or the independence that we have from him, and leaning heavily into him for the dependence of everything to meet all of our needs. And so I hope you're going to have a great 4th of July, everyone, and depend on God for all things. Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.